You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano. We greet you here today. Thank God it's Friday. Thank you for joining us here. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Friday, be it 6:30 a.m., 7:30 a.m. here on 91.5, 5:30 in the afternoon, whatever the time is. I'm grateful that you guys have taken the time to join me and join us as we together sit under and study the Word of God. We let the Word of God speak, just like that Mercy Me song. Word of God speak. The Word of God is going to speak to us today out of Jude. Here today and Monday, we're in this series here, Famous Chapters of the Bible, and this one is entitled Earnestly Contend for the Faith. Famous chapters, there's only one chapter in the small little letter of Jude. Jude was the Lord Jesus' half-brother. He's going to bring the word to us here today. Earnestly contend for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Prior to getting started on that, I invite you guys to church this weekend. We are in the book of Acts here on Sunday mornings. I'll be in chapter 1. We're going to spend a lot of time looking at the fall of Judas Iscariot, what happened to Judas, how did this happen to him, the dangers of what happened to him, how what happened to him can happen to anyone. That's why the man himself cried out and said, when the Lord said, one of you is going to betray me, and Judas himself said, is it I? Is it I, Lord? We're going to look at him a lot here today as we're in the first chapter of the book of Acts. Sunday morning at 10:30, you are invited. We are at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. Why don't you guys come by and visit this Sunday morning? If you're either looking for a new church home for whatever reason, or if you're new to the area and if you don't have one, I invite you to attend Island Community Church. We got off to an excellent start last week. Lord willing, the Holy Spirit will pick it up where we left off here this Sunday morning at 10:30. Here on the radio now, this is part one. It's one sermon. This will play today and wrap up on Monday. Earnestly contend for the faith.
Earnestly contend for the faith is the name of today's sermon. Or I got another working title for this sermon. We could call this, if it's new, then it's not true. It is what it is, right? If it's new, it's not true. I find it interesting, this little book of Jude is the very last book before the end of the age and the tribulation is here. Because right before the end, what we're going to see will be a serious problem, even worse than when he wrote this, Jude. Now, Jude was the Lord Jesus' half-brother. That is, same mother. Mary had other children, in case you did not know that. Now, here's my intro from this open Bible commentary. It says, when apostasy arises, when false teachings emerge, when the truth of God is attacked, it's time to fight for the faith. The commentary continues, only believers who are spiritually in shape can answer the summons. What is this little guy doing here anyway? All right, I won't. Normally I would throw this. But then again, it is only 10:59. I'll leave you right here, just in case. At the beginning of his letter, Jude focuses on the believer's common salvation. But then he feels compelled to challenge them to contend for the faith. The danger is real. False teachers have crept into the church. False teachers have crept into the church, turning God's grace into unbounded license to do as they please. Now, if you were to keep reading this little one-chapter letter, Jude reminds us of God's past dealings with unbelieving Israel, with disobedient angels who sinned, and he also is going to address Sodom and Gomorrah. In face of such great danger, Christians should not be caught off guard. The challenge is great, but so is the God who is able to keep you from stumbling. Now, today I want to look at what Jude, or really Judas was his name. Now, of course, that got switched to Jude because that's like naming your kid Adolf in 1933. You know, not a very popular name after that time. Judas was his name, very common name back in the day, shortened to Jude. Now, starting at the top, these three or four verses are on the handout. If you don't have a Bible, if you do have a Bible, we're in the book of Jude, the next to last book in the Bible, right next to Revelation. Okay, now let's pick it up here, right from the top, verse 1. Jude, a doulos, or a bondservant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Reads like a Christmas card, doesn't it? From Jude to all of you, to those who are, first off, he says, those who are called. Now remember, you can't gain entry to the kingdom if you're not called. You've got to be called, and you have to respond to the call. Now, I use the analogy frequently, and I will again for those that are here that have never heard me use this. It's the best analogy that I can think of to be called is God calling you on your cell phone, because that's the perfect example. What are the various responses you could come up with if God was to call your cell phone? The first thing you could do would be send him the voicemail. The person you were trying to reach is busy at the moment. Reminds me of George Harrison's first song he ever wrote. It's called Don't Bother Me. Leave me alone, don't bother me. Second thing you could do is ignore the call, right? You know what? I'm tired of this guy calling me. And you just won't answer. That would be la, 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 la. You know, there it is. He's calling you on your cell phone, and you just ignore the call. That's the second way you could do when God calls you on your phone. The third thing you could do is you could block the caller like a telemarketer. Report the caller to the Freedom From Religion Foundation. You know, I get this guy calling me all the time. He tells me that he loves me. I'm tired of hearing this. God loves me and I'm upset. Imagine that. Boy, you've had help if you feel that way. If you're upset that God loves you, you've been deceived by someone that hates you. That's the big snow on everyone, you see, is that God loves you, and this devil, he's blinded the minds of those that believe not, the Bible says. He snowed you. God loves you. That's good news, Norma. Fourth thing you could do is answer the call. Right, imagine that. You know, who's calling now? Oops. My phone says Jehovah. Uh-oh. What are you going to do? God's calling. I encourage you, answer the call. Answer the call. I believe. Count me in. I believe. Save me, Lord. I believe. You say you love me. I need your love. I receive that. I receive you. You see, and when God calls you, you see, he gives you a special message. You got to receive a special message. And that is, he says to you, he says, I'll tell you what. He says, meet me at the cross. That is where we will rendezvous. We'll meet over there. If you don't receive the message, you're not going to know where to go. The place that you go is at the foot of the cross. That's his message. We'll rendezvous there. Also, this Greek word here for called is the same word for a summons you used to get to appear in court. Greetings. Now that's more like a draft notice, right, Ed? Greetings. See you Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Don't be late. We'll provide the M16. What do you do when God calls you? Many respond to that call. Those who recognize they are sinners and are an affront to a holy God, and they long for heaven and eternal life, respond to the call. The charge, you've heard me say it for 12 years here, if you've been coming here long enough, the charge over all humanity is that God loves you, wants you to spend eternity with him. He's thrown you a life preserver. His name is Jesus. He's done all the work. All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord. That's what he says in his word. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Don't make it more difficult than that. Some ignore the summons. And then a warrant is issued for their arrest. You see, you can run, but you can't hide. And in this case, actually, there'll be no warrant. God just won't trouble you anymore. You see, you look out here today in the world, and you'll see 6 billion people out here whose cell phones aren't ringing anymore. You wonder what that looks like? Look around today, and you'll see what it looks like when God's done ringing your cell phone. Where is that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. That would be in Romans chapter 1. There's a certain time, there just comes a time when God's going to stop ringing your cell phone. No skin off his back. God loves you. You choose. The second thing Jude said was sanctified. Sanctified means set apart. Also to make holy. This is what God has done with you. He has set you apart and made you holy. This is what the word saint means, sanctified. And by the way, you are a saint. You have been set apart for special use by the Master. This is what the word saint means. It's not someone you ask for help if you lose your wallet. You are a saint. You have been made a saint. A saint just means sanctified. It means God has set you apart for a special use for you to serve him. That's what the word means. Set apart for special use by the Master. The Holy Spirit has done this great work on the inside of you and has and is transforming you every day into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. I love this verse out of Hebrews. Helps explain this. Hebrews 10:14. It says, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. That's a present active participle. Word with ing on the end of it. You are being sanctified every day. Every day. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. You are a work in progress. Every day you're supposed to look a little bit more like him, the man in the glory. Set apart. Set apart so that he knows where to find you. when he cracks the skies to return. You, Christian, who stick out like a sore thumb. At least you're supposed to. Lastly, Jude says, you are preserved. And that preservation is in Christ. What does that mean? Now, you're going to love this word. This speaks of a warden in prison and a guard, one who keeps his eyes fixed intently on, to watch vigilantly. And that's what the Lord does with you. He who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He who keeps watch over you neither slumbers nor sleeps either. You are preserved, not in formaldehyde, like a science class frog, not like Imhotep the mummy, but you are preserved in Christ. That's good news. Amen. He's kept you, and he's your rear guard. He's watching out over you. God's got your back. That's why Paul says, what can man do to me? God's got my back. You can't do anything to me. You are preserved. These kind of awesome truths lead the Apostle Paul to proclaim, what shall we say to these things? If God be for me, who can be against me? This is you, and Jude is writing to you. You are called. You have been set apart for service. You are preserved. Not you will be preserved. You are preserved right now. God's got your back in the right here and now. He's got your back. See, let that be the wind in your sail today. God's got your back. Your name, he said to Isaiah, is engraved on the palms of his hand. Again, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You can take that to the bank. Either he's going to come back and take you out, or you're going to die and leave this world and go and be with him. Either way, you can either do one of the, you can either win or you can win. It's your choice. Answer the cell phone when it rings. Hello, God calling. I love you. I love you so much, I sent my son down here to die in your place. Because you, friend, are a sinner and are in need of grace, mercy, and forgiveness, and salvation, and eternal life. And he's provided all of those things. Praise God, that's right, that's good news. Now, back from the top. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. All right, so he's a slave of his oldest brother and a brother to his other brother. Like that old saying, right? How does that go again? Brother of another mother? To those who are called. That would be you. He's writing to you. Sanctified by God the Father, that he set you apart. That is, this whole world's over here. You, Christian, are over here. That's what sanctified means. Sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love. Peace and love. That sounds like Ringo. I'm up to two Beatles now. Peace and love. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied. Get out the calculator, Jude. Look at what he's multiplying. Get it out. Figure it out. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. May mercy be multiplied to you. That's mercy multiplied many times over. Mercy, mercy, mercy. May peace be multiplied. We could use some more of that right about now. What do you think? Peace, peace, peace. Peace to you. My peace I give to you, he says. May your prayer for us, Jude, be answered by Almighty God. May the peace that he gives you get you through all the trouble in your life and through every trial in your life. That's his prayer for us. May the peace of Jesus Christ be multiplied in your life exponentially. And may love be multiplied to you. Love, love, love. All together now, we could say, all you need is love. All right. That's three, right? We've got Ringo, George, and now John Lennon. All you need is love. He had that part, right? Love be multiplied. May his love be multiplied to you, his love to you, his love for you, and then your love for others as a result. You're overflowing with it. Remember, you are a Pez dispenser. He's popped open your head. He's poured in a bucket of love into you. Now go out and share that here with everyone else. Even to those who don't deserve it or who aren't worthy, like you were not worthy. I mean, that's what grace means. You're receiving something that you're not worthy of and that you haven't earned. That's grace. That's what makes it grace. God shed his grace on thee. May we never forget that in that song and that truth. May his love be multiplied to you, and may you be a dispenser of that love like a vending machine. That would make you the vendor of love. Reminds me of them old cigarette machines back when I was a kid. Remember? Doink. Remember? Like you put 50 cents in back in the day and you pull out that handle, out comes a pack of. That's what we need to be, a vending machine of love. Love. Love for one another. Love for your brother. Love for your neighbor down the street that doesn't deserve it. May love be multiplied to you, in you, through you, to everyone you. That's his prayer. Instead of a cigarette machine, you pull out that handle. You don't have to put anything in. You don't even have to put 50 cents in. It's already multiplied in you. Now go and share it in this evil, crooked, upside down, perverted world. I believe God answered his prayer. Love and peace. No chicken grease, though. That's what he says every day when he leaves here. Love, peace, and chicken grease. All right, verse 3. Why he wrote this letter. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. So look at what the Holy Spirit did here. Jude wanted to write to these good people about their common salvation. But apparently some crisis had reached his ears, prompting him to write a different letter than what he had originally set out to do. So today I want to look at through three things. Number one, what is our common salvation? What that is. Because ultimately what it is the same as what it was. And it's the same as what it will be. It doesn't change. And number two, contending for the faith. Like that old line from that old Marlon Brando movie, On Their Waterfront, he says, I could have what? Thank you. I could have been. And that's what the word means. It means to put on. It means, see, this is what it means. See, you unbutton this shirt, you see. And you pull them up, you pull your sleeves up here, earnestly contend, fight for the faith. I could have been a contender. And number three, that faith was once for all time. It was once for all time delivered or handed down to the saints. Maybe from your mother to you, who received it from her mother or grandmother. Or it's handed down, but it doesn't change. It's once for all delivered to the saints. The faith remains the same. The faith does not change. So first off, what is our common salvation? Our common salvation is the one same thing which saved all of us. Like a common area, or a common driveway, or a common denominator. What saves one person saves another person. And the next, and the next. It never changes. It's common to all. We read one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Not two, there's one. There's not two lords. There's one Lord. And there's one faith, the Christian faith. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. One, not two. One common salvation like this. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you read justified, that's the Greek word dikaios. It's a legal word. God's got his gavel, and he slams down that gavel and looks at you and pronounces over your soul those two words. He says, not guilty. See, now his son, I used to say was not guilty, but actually his son was guilty. Because he put the sentence on him. He had to pay the price for it. Still, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Someone's got to pay for it. Someone's got to pay the price. The good news for us is that he did. Might be Good Friday for us. So, common salvation, Romans 5:1. Having been justified by faith, that is, God slams down the gavel, declares you officially in a court of law not guilty. And there's no double jeopardy. You won't be tried again when there's a different president or a different judge, because there is no president or judge greater than Jehovah. Who can compete with him and his declarations? God himself has declared you not guilty. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord. No man or demon from hell can stop that. But what saved them then saves you and I today. And will save people after we're all dead and gone, should the Lord tarry, with the next generation of crazy men up here preaching. It's going to be the same thing. If not, he's a heretic. To be justified. Okay, here's another one. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that is, you believe in your heart, you believe in the resurrection, you believe that death is not the end for you in this world. You've got to believe that death is not the end. You've got to believe that when you die and leave this world, it's not all, you're going to stand somewhere. You're either going to stand in front of him at the great white throne judgment if you don't answer that call when he calls you, or he's going to say, enter thou into the joy of your Lord. It's your choice. The charge over you is that God loves you. He's paid the price, died in our place. God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing, oh, you. You offended me when Eisenhower was president. You and Thomas Edison was in grade school. Sin. Not imputing anyone's trespasses against them. That's good news. And it says he has committed to us the word of this reconciliation. That is, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus died for me.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.